On Friday, the Iowa legislature adjourned, ending its 2016 session. This hour, who won, who lost, what passed, and what failed. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It was a session where we saw battles over a tight state budget, the failure of legislation to pay for water quality projects, and no agreement over medical marijuana. In the first half hour, we'll hear from Senate Majority Leader Democrat Mike Gronstall and House Majority Leader Chris Hagenow, a Republican. In the second half hour, we'll be joined by Bill Petrosky of the Des Moines Register and Kay Henderson of Radio Iowa. A look back at the 2016 legislative session and what it might mean for 2017. First, this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last Friday, the Iowa legislature adjourned for the year, a week and a half past their scheduled adjournment. The $7.3 billion state budget is now in the hands of the governor. Joining me now to talk about what passed and what is left to be decided on next year is the Senate Majority Leader, Mike Gronstall, a Democrat from Council Bluffs. Senator Gronstall, thank you for joining us.
Sure. I'm happy to be here.
What do you see as the biggest accomplishments of this session, 2016?
Oh, boy, that's kind of a tough question to answer. So we have a Democratic Senate, a Republican House, and a Republican governor. I think the best accomplishment is that we chose to work together and find compromise rather than pursue gridlock. And so I think the greatest accomplishment is we actually passed a budget, agreed to the overall spending level, had some arguments inside that overall $7.351 budget, and chose to make things work. We worked hard at the end of the session to try and get an oversight bill over this transition to managed care that the governor's embarked on. Worked through that with the House and worked through a lot of other issues with the House. But obviously, it was a tough year. The March Revenue Estimating Conference came in and lowered their overall estimate about $50 million, which meant we had to cut about $50 million out of our spending level, which we did. And like I said, worked with the House to get that done and tried to avoid gridlock.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk, if we could, for a moment about a couple of high-priority items that didn't get done this session, water quality and medical marijuana. In fact, this week, you and the governor have exchanged some words over the legislature's failure to approve a plan for water quality improvements before the adjournment. The governor made a proposal, just to remind our listeners, to tap some school infrastructure dollars to raise money for water quality. The House passed a bill to divert money from other state programs, but the bill was not debated in your Senate, where you are the majority leader. The governor says you weren't serious about getting something done on water quality this year, and you're trying to blame others, and he thinks you'll be held accountable for that. Why didn't the Senate offer a bill on water quality?
There were too many people in that building that were talking past each other. The governor had no plan on water quality. The governor's plan was to basically steal $406 million from K-12 education. I don't call that a plan. The Iowa House completely rejected the governor's approach to that plan, and they took a different plan that was similar. It scooped money out of state infrastructure dollars and out of the general fund budget to attempt to come up with a plan. I think we need to have people quit talking past each other, quit making up plans that cut other elements of things that are really important to Iowans, and try and sit down and quit talking past each other.
If you could just set the scene for getting something done to improve water quality next session. What is the approach if what you just said doesn't work?
Here's my approach. I believe people, and there are a number of mechanisms. The governor vetoed water quality efforts a few years ago. The legislature passed through the start of a program that would put $20 million, and the governor vetoed that in one-time money. I think you can come up with a one-time money mechanism that whenever the state general fund has an ending balance over X, you set aside Y number of dollars. I think that's another approach that doesn't directly impact other priorities in the state budget. So there are ways to do this, but I think instead of a unilateral House Republican plan, a unilateral Senate Democratic plan, and a unilateral gubernatorial plan, I think we need a summit. I think we need people to come together. So that's what I intend to work on.
Mm-hmm. Another item that didn't make it through this year, something on to address the medical marijuana situation. Our current state law allows the possession of cannabis oil due to the legislation passed in a previous session, but that given certain medical conditions, you're allowed to have that cannabis oil. However, it's illegal to produce it in the state, and it's illegal to bring it into the state. So obviously a problem of access. Why was the legislature unable to come up with a solution to help those who say they really need access to this cannabis oil?
Well, I think you saw the Iowa Senate respond favorably on that front. And I think we were ready to continue to work with the Iowa House. They spent a good deal of time discussing it internally. In the end, they came out with kind of a cobbled-together plan to maybe find a way for Iowans to access it out of Minnesota. There was really nobody in Minnesota pursuing that kind of legislation. But so they came out after hours discussing it internally with a plan on that front, and they just barely got half their own caucus to support that effort. Mm-hmm. So pretty clearly, and the Senate was ready, willing, and able to work with anything they sent back to it. So we were very open to it, but they continue to have trouble finding consensus on the House side.
So what do you think is the likely avenue here between those two of finding a way through law to import it, which also has a problem with interstate commerce, federal laws, I understand, or growing the cannabis needed to produce the oil in the state? Which of those avenues do you think is more likely to have common ground?
Well, I think it would be difficult to find other states that will cooperate it and at the same time get the federal government to legalize that. So at the moment, that's not legal under federal law. So I think Iowa needs to come up with a system where we put in place a process for people to grow it in the state and produce it and refine it in this state. So I think that's probably what's necessary. And again, that's what the Senate passed early in the session and sent over to the House. I guess at this point, there's going to be an election, and we'll see if that's an issue on the campaign trail, and we'll see if Iowans send people to the Capitol that are more willing to consider the real needs of families. I mean, when you hear some of these tragic cases of people with of infants with epilepsy that are having 40, 50, 100 seizures a day.
Right.
I just think we've got to respond to that. And,
right.
And it is pretty clear that that medical marijuana can be real relief for those people.
Of course, you and many of your Senate colleagues will be campaigning for reelection in the coming months. A Ballotpedia analysis identifies the Iowa State Senate as one of the 20 battleground chambers in this coming 2016 November election. Your Democratic Party edges out the Republicans by just two seats in the Senate. What would it mean to lose the Senate to Republicans?
Well, I think it would mean we would go in a very, very highly partisan direction. I think there'd be no check and balance on a governor who is certainly privatized the delivery of Medicaid in the state of Iowa with essentially no legislative input. I think we could easily look like Kansas or Wisconsin in a whole variety of ways, and I don't think that would be good. But I'd also say we have been the target. We were targeted in 2010. We were targeted in 12 and in 14. I'm confident they will target us again this year, but we have good candidates and we will run good campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Of course, all eyes on the national campaign, the presidential nominating contests right now. In your view, how does that affect, say, the Senate races in Iowa?
It doesn't. I mean, obviously, the top of the ticket can have an impact one way or the other, but the top of the ticket isn't what matters. What matters is that you run good, competent campaigns, recruit great candidates, and we have certainly done that.
So what issues will you be campaigning hard on in the coming months?
Well, we're certainly going to be campaigning on education. We think the Republicans and the governor have neglected K-12 education. We think that's a very serious concern and probably the top budget priority of all Iowans is K-12 education. So we're going to certainly campaign on education, but we're also going to campaign on making sure that people have access to health care coverage and that coverage that this new managed care system that the governor has gone down the road on doesn't leave consumers and patients lacking for services and doesn't drive out of existence some of the entities that provide those services. And we're already starting to hear of stories like that, people that provide services to parents with handicapped kids, and that they are squeezing them and running some of those folks out of business. So we're gonna talk a lot about healthcare, and we're gonna talk a lot about education.
Your colleague Senator Matt McCoy had harsh words for the governor in the last day or so toward the end of this session. He said when the governor leaves office, he will have left a state that is in terrible condition from an infrastructure standpoint. In your opinion, what are the most pressing needs regarding Iowa's infrastructure?
I think there are certainly lots of needs when it comes to infrastructure. We have a state office building that is in pretty bad shape, the Wallace office building, and clearly there are hundreds of workers in that building, and it's kind of sad that isn't being taken care of. The governor has resisted any efforts to deal with that issue in particular. So I was one of the people that many years ago said the state had to have an infrastructure budget for vertical infrastructure, and I'd say we're doing a better job than we were 30 years ago, but it is still sadly lacking.
Okay, thank you very much for this conversation. Senator Mike Gronstahl, the Senate Majority Leader, at the closing of the session with a few of his views. Thank you, Senator Gronstahl.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was a conversation I had with Mike Gronstahl yesterday. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, wrapping up the Iowa legislative session this hour. The 2016 session adjourned last Friday. So now let's jump from the Senate, where the Democrats have a slim majority, to the Iowa House, where Republicans are in control. And earlier today, I spoke with the House Majority Leader, Chris Hagenow, a Republican from Windsor Heights. Hello, Representative Hagenow.
Hello, Ben.
Let's talk about the budget. There was a flurry of activity last Friday when you were finishing up the $7.3 billion budget, now in the governor's hands. What would you say are the biggest accomplishments of this session?
Well, I think the biggest overall accomplishment that we set forth to do every year within the budget is to make sure that the budget balances. We make sure every year as House Republicans that the overall state budget does not spend more than the taxpayers send us in revenue. And that's something that seems fairly simple, but yet at the same time requires us to make a lot of hard choices, prioritize things. And for the sixth year in a row, House Republicans have continued to lead on that, and we're very proud to be able to deliver that back to the taxpayers of Iowa. Mm-hmm. So we think that's a big accomplishment.
Undoubtedly one of the hard choices, I'm sure for you, the legislature approving a 2.25% increase in state aid for school districts for the 2016-2017 academic year. Democrats originally sought a 4% increase. Republicans offered a 2% at the outset. Now, teachers and education groups say they needed that 4%, and in fact, they say that Iowa school districts are worried they may be forced to lay off teachers and cut programs next fall. Are you and other Republicans okay with that if these education budget does result in those layoffs and program cuts?
Well, we look at it coming from the standpoint of what we have available in revenue to spend, as I mentioned before, in terms of the budget and how many dollars are we going to collect from the taxpayers. Within that supplemental state aid figure that you mentioned, that represents $135 million in new revenue going to our K-12 education system. And if you think about it in terms of the new revenue that the state collected over the previous fiscal year, that represents 77% of our new dollars going toward K-12 education. And that actually resulted in us having to squeeze other areas of the state budget. Many other areas had status quo budgets or very tight increases. And so I understand that there are needs within the K-12 education system, but we believe with this considerable new investment of funds that we'll be able to continue to provide quality education to Iowa's K-12 students and still be able to meet the other priorities within the state budget.
Representative Hagenow, let's talk about a couple of things that did not make it through this year: water quality and new medical marijuana legislation. First, to water quality, why didn't House Republicans endorse the governor's plan, which would have taken some of the money planned for education in the future and put it towards water quality?
Well, I think to begin with, I think the governor's plan really helped to spark the conversation and get us thinking about the issue. And so I think that was a very good thing. We had several members, many of our members, that were concerned about redirecting some of the dollars out of the school infrastructure fund. And so we, after having that conversation, focused on what could be accomplished within our existing revenue streams. And what we ended up passing was a substantial water quality bill that sent over $500 million in new money that was out of our existing revenue, both through our infrastructure budget and through the metered water tax, to a wide range of initiatives within water quality. And so we think that was a great plan to be able to do that, urban and rural, point-non-point sources, while not raising taxes or taking away from anything else. I'm disappointed that the Senate didn't pick that bill up, because I think it really would have made a big difference in Iowa's water quality, but it was sparked by the whole conversation by the governor getting it started.
Mm-hmm. Undoubtedly sparked also by the Des Moines Waterworks lawsuit, don't you think?
Well, I think so, but I think this is all part of an overall awareness that Iowans have about water quality, and it's clearly an issue that is of big concern across the state. And so this is all part of us working through these issues and having a broader conversation about how to address all of these problems.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see common ground on this issue, water quality, in the next session, if you were to predict this far out? So where can you meet?
Well, I certainly think there is an opportunity to meet within some kind of the framework that we set forth. I think that it will depend somewhat on what the revenue picture looks like next year, and we are in some uncertain economic times, so we'll have to wait and see what that looks like, and also we'll have an election in between now and then, and it'll give us an opportunity to go back and talk to our constituents and listen to what's on their mind and set forth some of these different ideas and let the voters of Iowa weigh in on it as well.
Mm-hmm. The other item that didn't make it through this year, medical marijuana. Our current state law allows the possession of cannabis oil given certain medical conditions, epilepsy. However, it's illegal to produce the oil in the state. It's illegal also to bring it into the state. Why was the legislature unable to come up with a solution to help those in need of this oil?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, as with many of these issues, we have a very wide range of opinions within the House Republican Caucus on how to proceed. We have some that feel very strongly about expanding the law that we already have, and we have others that are very reluctant to do that. And we had a very good conversation about it this year. Ultimately, we did put forth a plan that was a reciprocal program with the state of Minnesota, which would have provided for a much more expanded list of conditions for people that would qualify, and would have been a vehicle for those folks to get at least easier access to the oil itself. So it's something that I'm sure we'll continue to have conversations about, but it's a priority for many people out there, and we are certainly open to that.
Importing would be one way to provide legislation. Do you think there's any future in producing that oil here in the state? Would enough of your party members go for that under certain conditions?
I think that's certainly possible. I think the thing that some of our members are most concerned about is does this would that production go too far? Would it have the appropriate controls on that? I know that we've made a lot of progress in the conversation of addressing that, but certainly as another year rolls around, hopefully we'll get closer to being able to put something together.
Mm-hmm. The House and the Senate agreed to continue state funding for Planned Parenthood clinics. That's something the Democrats wanted, and there was a double in the state tax credit for adoptions, which your party wanted. How do you see this compromise, and where do you see the Planned Parenthood issue going from here?
Well, I think that certainly we had the overall outcome was terrific in doubling of the adoption tax credit. I think that's a terrific thing. There's many Iowa families that have chosen adoption, and anything we can do to offset the costs of that, which are often considerable, I think is a very good thing, because we want adoption to be a very viable alternative to that. One of the other things that we considered in trying to find resolution was actually expanding women's health services to alternative providers of those services. And it's important to remember that even within our initial proposal is that those women's health services were continued to be fully funded, and we just wanted to direct those to different providers and while still preserving the overall access geographically and otherwise. So I'm sure it'll continue to be a conversation, but it's important to note that we want to still continue to deliver those services.
Mm-hmm. You'll be campaigning for re-election in the next few months. Ballotpedia analysis identifies the Iowa State Senate as one of the 20 battleground chambers in the November 2016 election. Of course, Democrats with a slim majority in the Iowa Senate. You referred to this earlier. How will the agenda change if Republicans do gain control of the Senate as well as the House?
Well, I think that we have shown what Republicans want to lead on in this state, and that's through the things that we have made priorities throughout the 6 years that we've been in control of the Iowa House. We'll continue to fight for a balanced budget, for strong fiscal responsibility and how we spend those dollars. To the extent that it's possible, we'll be looking for ways to provide meaningful tax relief to Iowans, and so that they can keep more of those dollars in their own pocket and hopefully reinvest those into the economy.
Very quickly, before we say goodbye, looking at the national political scene, how comfortable are you with Donald Trump being the standard bearer for your party come November?
Well, we've still got several months to go before we've actually landed on a nominee. But
it sure looks like Donald Trump, wouldn't you say?
Well, he is certainly the front runner right now. There's no doubt about that. But there is still a long ways to go.
Would you be comfortable with him as the nominee?
I'm gonna reserve judgment on that until we have completed the primary process.
Okay.
So, but what I do know is that in these legislative elections is that they are local, and our folks go home and they visit with their friends and their neighbors. Talk about what they've accomplished, talk about what they'd like to do next, and Iowans are very independent-minded about that. And so I think regardless of who the nominee is on either side, I think that our folks will have a great chance to go and make that case to each individual voter, regardless of who else is above them or below them on the ballot.
Okay, Representative Chris Hagenow, House Majority Leader from Windsor Heights. Thank you very much for this conversation.
Thank you, Ben.
Coming up after a short break, I'll be joined by Bill Petrosky of the Des Moines Register and Kay Henderson of Radio Iowa as we continue a look back at the 2016 Iowa legislative session and what it might mean for 2017. I'm Ben Kiefer, back after a short break. And we're back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we're looking back on the 2016 Iowa legislative session. It adjourned last Friday. Last half hour, we heard from representatives of the two major parties in the Iowa legislature, Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl, Democrat, and Republican House Majority Leader Chris Hagenow. Now joining us in the Des Moines studio for the rest of the hour to discuss the bills that passed and those that failed, two veteran journalists with years of covering politics and the Iowa legislature under their belts. Kay Henderson is with us, news director for Radio Iowa. Hello, Kay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Bill Petrosky with us as well, state government reporter with the Des Moines Register. Hi, Bill.
Glad to be here, Ben.
I want to reach out to our listeners this half hour, ask if you have any comments or questions about what did or didn't get done in this legislative session. Did your issue get addressed? Did anything happen or not happen that may influence your vote come November? 1-866-780-9100. Email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook. Let's talk about that last day quickly. The budget issues there, a $7.3 billion state budget now in the governor's hands. And last Friday, a flurry of action on a couple of contentious spending bills that had been holding up adjournment. Bill, can you start us off? Tell us, what were the disagreements on that final day and how did they get resolved?
Well, a couple of them, in particular, DOT transportation spending. There was a DOT had asked for an extra $9.7 million to cover some cost of some contract increase, salary increases. And the House Republicans just said, hey, we just aren't going to go along this. They don't approve salary bills. And the Senate Democrats said, you know, that's totally reasonable. And the governor had supported it. And the DOT said, hey, that's going to cause us the loss of over 400 employees over 4 years, and I think the Republicans were very skeptical about that. Essentially, the Democrats and Republicans said, let's just split it down the middle. It ended up being, I think it was $4.85 million that they agreed on, and the governor told us yesterday he's asked DOT Director Paul Tarambino to try to work something out to avoid any kind of layoffs, and he described it as the fireman first concept, where government officials, when threatened with any kind of a budget cut, or this was a proposed cut in the what they had requested, the fireman first concept is that, you know, that you lay off, that they immediately say, well, we're going to have to lay off the firefighters or police officers, and I think he was pretty skeptical too. Secondly, on the matter of the other matter was defunding Planned Parenthood, and there was a very, very strong push by some Republicans to defund Planned Parenthood. They came up with a plan to try to eliminate state funding for Planned Parenthood, and they thought it was pretty reasonable. And the Senate Democrats, again, just said, we just aren't going to go along with that, period. And I think I had felt going into the session we might be sitting here in July without any kind of a budget just because of that issue. And what really happened was, I think that within their own House Republican caucus, some of the more establishment Republicans said, we just aren't going to go along with it. So they ended up on a compromise, and that was to double the state tax credits for adoptions, with that being viewed as an alternative to abortion.
Mm-hmm. Kay, on the budget, yeah, you want to say something?
Well, number one, Iowa is not Illinois, so they actually have a budget. There's been a long-standing dispute in our neighboring state of Illinois where they don't even have an operating budget whereby Republican governor and Democrats in the legislature cannot agree. Number two, back to the personnel issue. The governor addressed this yesterday when he spoke with reporters during his weekly news conference. It has been the practice of Republicans in the legislature since 2007 not to provide state agencies with extra money to cover the salary and benefit increases that have been won through negotiations with unions that represent state employees. The state auditor has begun to say that this is a bad practice, that extra money should be provided to these agencies to cover those, because what it actually does is it cedes authority from the legislature to decide how many state employees should be on the payroll and gives that authority to state agencies and essentially the governor to make cuts in the payroll without having any fingerprints on it by legislators, number one. And number two, legislators aren't forced to make difficult decisions about adjustments within budgets that might, instead of deciding that this agency needs X number of employees to function, to clear the roads when there is snow and to oversee new construction projects in the case of the Department of Transportation. And instead, the legislature gets out of making decisions about what agencies in state government should be closed down altogether.
And I think Branstad is okay with that because he ran on the premise when he ran for re-election in 2010, he said, I'm going to cut the size of state government, and this provides him a way to do that.
It's a backdoor way of reducing the state workforce, but it also sort of allows state government to continue operating without any real examination of, is there some agency that should no longer exist? Is there some program that should no longer exist? Legislators no longer make those decisions.
Kay Henderson with us, along with Bill Petrosky, as we look back over some of the items in the 2016 Iowa legislative session, which ended on Friday. Water quality was, from the get-go, an issue here that the legislature knew it had to deal with, the Des Moines Water Works lawsuit, of course, in the background, of course, then also the governor's plan there. But this split legislature could not come up with agreement on how to fund water quality improvement in the state. Blame we hear in the last few days being tossed back and forth between the governor and Senate Majority Leader Gronstahl. Kay, why couldn't they come up with a plan?
Because it's a tough issue, because Republicans do not wish to raise additional taxes. They look at taxes already being collected by the state and are trying to figure out a way to reallocate those to this mission. Whereas Democrats, many of whom voted for the Iowa Water and Land Legacy Fund, believe that the state's sales tax should be raised by a fraction, and that extra money should be dedicated in perpetuity to water improvement projects. It's a philosophical difference. It will be litigated on the campaign trail. On Monday, the governor made it clear that he hopes that his fellow Republicans make this a big issue in the reelection campaign of Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl, who, by the way, is up for reelection this year. It also keeps Gronstahl perhaps more occupied on his own race and less occupied on maintaining Democratic control of the Iowa legislature, because of the Iowa Senate, rather. That is where the focus will be this fall, on the majority control of the Iowa Senate.
Steve, yeah, and what's important to point out here is if the, you know, the margin in the Iowa Senate is very, very close, the Democrats only hold a two-seat edge. And if Republicans take control of the Iowa Senate, you will see either the governor's plan pass or this House Republican plan pass next year.
See Planned Parenthood defunded.
Well, that's exactly right.
You'll see a lot of different. You'll see perhaps some broad tax cuts of the income tax variety. A few years ago, they cut commercial property taxes, but there's been a huge appetite among House Republicans to cut income taxes. So the state house agenda will dramatically shift if Democrats are bested in November and lose control of the Iowa Senate.
Just going back to this thing with water quality funding, though, I think Governor Branstad genuinely was surprised that there was so much pushback to his plan. His plan was basically to extend this 1 cent school infrastructure sales tax by, I think, what was 20 years, and to scoop a portion of the future growth of that for water quality projects, which he thought was very reasonable. Former Governor Vilsack, who is the nation's agriculture secretary, stood aside next to him at a press conference and said, yes, I will endorse that. They thought it was pretty reasonable, and there was just immediate pushback, mostly from within the education community.
Let's go to Steve in Boonville. We're asking for you to comment on the 2016 session, if there are issues there that you feel will influence your vote come November. Steve in Boonville, which is in Dallas County, joins us now. Water quality, I see on my screen, is of interest to you. Will that be something that will influence your vote in November?
Yeah, it really will. I mean, we're all paying collectively now for our water quality issues in Iowa. And by not the legislative, if they don't turn to the people who are profiting from the production of the pollution and say, you guys are going to have to step up and pay, then that means that they are taxing us. And we're going to be taxed increasingly, you know, going forward as the problem gets worse and worse. But, you know, we have millions of Chinese hogs in Iowa and soon millions of Brazilian hogs and millions of acres of corn that grown to feed those hogs. If we put a dollar a head tax on the pigs that are slaughtered in this state, that would be $40 million each and every year. Pennies a pound, less than pennies a pound. The people who are profiting, the multinationals, the foreign interests that are profiting from the pollution, would be responsible for cleaning it up. I don't see why that has to be so difficult.
Okay,
Steve. And yet I don't hear any legislators speak anything about that.
Okay, Steve in Boonville, thank you for your perspective. Join us with your view on that or any other issues in the 2016 legislative session, what you hope to be addressed in the 2017 legislative session. 1-866-780-9100. One of the things that many are unsatisfied with, especially families of those who have conditions that can be helped evidently by cannabis oil, dissatisfied with the results of the 2016 legislative session, Bill and Kay, the advancement of any medical marijuana bills died despite the impassioned pleas of advocates for the use of cannabis oil. You can legally use cannabis oil in the state. That's thanks to previous legislation for certain medical conditions, epilepsy, but there's no legal way to access it. So the positions on the party here, Bill, do you see them coming together? Because in our discussions we had last half hour, the divide seems to be, well, do you find a way to import it from Minnesota, or do you find a way to grow it under strict conditions here in Iowa?
I think this is going to happen sooner or later, and one of the reasons is that people who want it are going to continue to push for this. One of the things that I think happened that was very interesting right at the end of the session was that not only did we have this lobby group of family members who were concerned, but there were, I think it was something like 100 business people. There were a number of municipal city and county officials across the state who came on board with this. So this is becoming more of a mainstream kind of thing. We see this happening in a lot of other states, and I think there will be a continued push for this kind of thing. Now, we know that there are some people in the Iowa House, particularly Republicans, who just say, hey, look, this is the role of the federal government. The FDA is supposed to approve drugs, and it's not really good public policy to have legislators making decisions on prescription drugs based upon anecdote instead of sound science. So there are yet some people to be swayed, but I see this happening sooner or later.
You see it the same way, Kay?
I do think the pressure will continue. I think one of the interesting observations that was made and shared with me this past year was a legislator told me this is a generational issue. If you look at the legislators who support allowing grow and distribute operations in Iowa, by and large, they're the younger legislators. With a few exceptions, there are older legislators who support this. So as older legislators sort of rotate out of the Iowa House and Senate, it may be that younger Americans, younger Iowans who have a different view of medical marijuana may turn the tide on this.
Mm-hmm. Kay Henderson with us of Radio Iowa, Bill Petrosky of the Des Moines Register. A little less than 10 minutes to chew over some more of the 2016 legislative wrap-up here. I have a number of things to get through, but let me just throw it out to you and let you fill in. We don't have time for everything. So, Kay, what is on your list of things that you want to mention as standouts from this session?
Well, a perennial issue that always comes up and always sort of fizzles out. There was an effort to legalize fireworks displays in your backyard. That failed.
Mm-hmm.
Most Iowans are not driving 70 miles an hour. The posted speed limit on the highways, there was discussion of raising speed limits to 75. That never came to fruition. Many other states are making restrictions in regards to cell phone use while you're driving. That was discussed, was not embraced. And in that instance, I think that technology may soon resolve that issue, whereby you have vehicles that sort of take care of the use of technology while you're driving. In other words, block it. So those were issues that I think that could have been addressed that would have had a very broad impact on Iowans' everyday lives.
Paul is joining us from Des Moines, calling from Des Moines. Paul, what's your point you want to make about the 2016 legislative session?
I want to just make a point that our leaders are small-minded, petty, and when it comes to medical marijuana and also the deferred costs on state office buildings, kicking it down the road, and they don't really have the guts to do anything. They're just retreating in a foxhole, and there is no inspired leadership or actually an inspired body who have leadership in mind. They basically just want to get reelected.
Okay, well, Paul, thanks for that perspective from Des Moines. Obviously, disappointment there, Kay and Bill.
In regards to the status of state buildings, that was discussed in the previous half hour here, there is starting to be a huge tension between the state's building interest and contractors who had envisioned this Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund, into which gambling taxes are deposited to be always dedicated to maintaining the state's infrastructure, state-owned buildings. It has become a pool of money into which legislators dip for all sorts of uses. For instance, $300,000 will be used to help the World Food Prize this year. A myriad uses for that money as opposed to bricks and mortar and improvements. And that's going to be a continuing debate, especially if Republicans control the Iowa Senate and the House next year, because I suspect that fund will be used for water infrastructure in the state. In other words, they will use more of those gambling taxes for water improvement projects.
Mm-hmm. So the issues coming up that may sway people's minds in voting for their state representatives, their senators, water. Do we see any other issues there?
Yeah.
Bill?
I just want to mention, we saw the start of a death with dignity debate this session. It just happened. There were a couple of Senate subcommittee meetings where several Democratic senators introduced a death with dignity bill to allow terminally ill patients to self-administer prescription drugs to take their own lives. I was at those subcommittee meetings. It was wrenching. I mean, there were people who showed up who are dying, who have terminally ill diseases, and people who spoke about the terrible pain that family members went through. At the same time, there were people from church groups, from other concerned people who showed up who said, look, we just can't put forward a culture of suicide here. We're concerned that there's an epidemic of suicide happening all over the country, and this just emboldens people or encourages people to say that suicide is okay. The advocates for it, they said, we just want to start a statewide conversation on the issue. And I absolutely think they did. This is an issue that is definitely coming back next year.
Okay, plenty more to talk about, but I want to get these your thoughts on this before we close here in a minute or two. What effect, if any, do you see that the presidential election, the nominating process, and then soon to be the general election campaign, does it have any effect on state politics? When I talked with Representative Chris Hagenow earlier today, he reserved judgment on on Donald Trump until
right.
He's officially the GOP presidential nominee. Didn't want to have any words there at all.
I had several conversations with Republican legislators about what they thought would happen, and they do not know. Their greatest fear is they have a couple of fears. Number one, that a bunch of new people will vote, and they'll go and they'll vote for Donald Trump, and then they will leave the rest of the ballot blank. And that will be disadvantage Republican candidates. The other thing they fear is that Trump will be so unpopular that Democrats will be energized. So they just don't know what the landscape will be and how this head-to-head fight between Trump and Clinton may play out in October and the first couple of days of November.
A few seconds for you, Bill, before
sure.
we have to go.
The one thing all of us see when there are wave elections, when there is a big tilt one way or the other. You can be running for dog catcher, and that if there's a strong partisan vote, it can affect your local dog catcher elections. Most of the people who run for state office, though, for local state Senate and House seats, they will tell you that those are largely local elections.
Right,
and
that's what we heard from the people I talked with last half hour. They said, no, these are local issues. We'll see, huh? I don't know. Did Barack Obama at the top of the ticket in 08 have an impact on the Iowa legislature?
I think, yes, I would say that it did. And in the 2010 election, Barack Obama had an impact on the election big time, too.
But point in fact, Gronstahl, the Senate Majority Leader, will tell you that in a wave election when Republicans had great success in 2010, Democrats were still able to maintain the Iowa Senate.
All right. Kay Henderson, News Director for Radio Iowa, Bill Petrosky, State Government Reporter with the Des Moines Register. Always a pleasure to have you in to talk about goings-on and your analysis, Bill. And Kay, thanks again for coming into our studio.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Coming up tomorrow, analysis of the Indiana primary. That's today with Tim Hagel and Dave Anderson, two of our astute political analysts. That tomorrow on our program. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. Catherine Perkins is our executive producer. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.